Dear radio friends, today we open our Bibles and consider God's Word in the book of Hebrews chapter 10 verse 25. I intend to treat this verse in two messages, today looking at the calling that comes to every Christian to regularly attend a church that's faithful to God's Word, and then in our next message on this verse, which will be in 2 weeks from today, we'll look at the calling that every Christian has to be a member of a local church. So today we'll talk about why it's important to attend church, and the next time why it's necessary to be a member of the church. Now I'm convinced that in the day and age in which we live, there's hardly a more important and relevant message for Christianity. And I say that because Christianity today is marked by the evils of consumerism and individualism. What is consumerism? Someone who calls himself a Christian says, I'm going to shop around for a church until I find one that meets all my felt needs and that's pleasing to me. And the church has become seeker-sensitive so that it caters to what people want it to be rather than being what God says it should be. What's individualism? It's this, that the Christian says, my life is my business, my faith, it's about me and my God. I don't need the church. And I certainly don't need other people to tell me what they think the Bible says about my life and how I should live. And so again, the church caters to this by getting rid of all formal membership. And there's no discipline of sin anymore. There's no accountability. Communion, the sacraments are open to anyone and everyone. And there's tolerance for every lifestyle and confession in the church. Over against these evils, the Bible calls every believer to find and regularly attend the scheduled meetings for worship in a local church which is faithful to the Scriptures. As Christians, we do not have the option of going it alone. And the standard for finding a church is not what makes me happy as an individual, but faithfulness to God's Word. And that's what we have in the text for today's message. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. I want to consider this under two main headings. First, what does this mean? And then second, why is this necessary? Now the book of Hebrews, you remember, was written to early Jewish believers who, because of persecution, were tempted to go back to Judaism. In this epistle, and especially in the few verses here that we've been looking at, the writer issues a stirring call to his audience to continue in their faith in Christ. After reminding them of the great privilege of free access to God that we have through the blood of Jesus Christ, in verses 19 through 21, he gives three exhortations. First, let us draw near to God. That is, let us worship. Second, let us hold fast to our faith. That is, persevere. Don't give up. And then third, let us consider one another and provoke to love and good works. That is, let's stay with one another as Christians. Apparently, though, there were some who had already departed from the faith. And their departure showed itself this way, that they forsook the regular gatherings of the church for worship. And that had become a discouragement to those who remained, and more were tempted to follow them. After all, being a persecuted Christian was difficult. And so, in the text, the exhortation is to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. The meaning here is very clear and simple. It couldn't be put in plainer words. The words, assembling of ourselves together, refer to the gathering of Christian believers for worship and exhortation in a particular place. Those words refer to the regularly scheduled meetings of the local church. Gathering regularly with other believers for worship was the practice of the early New Testament church. And it has been the practice of the church down through the ages. This is what Christians do. They gather with other believers in order to worship God and to pray and to hear God's word and to receive the sacraments together. The practices of home churching and the individualistic idea of Christianity that it's just me and my God are foreign to the scriptures. Instead, we read this of the early believers in Acts 2, verses 41 and 42. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. There's no individualism there. The word that they had received was the word preached by the apostles who represented the church. And having believed, they came to the church to be baptized. And then they were added to the church. And then, as members of the church, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, that is, under their teaching, and in fellowship, that is, their new friends were other Christians, and in breaking of bread and prayer, that is, the public use of the sacraments and corporate prayer with other Christians. They didn't say, now that we are Christians, we can just stay at home and do Christianity our own way. And I want to add here that though there's nothing wrong or sinful in Christian radio or in the use of the internet to access Christian resources, those things can be used in a wrong way when we substitute church with radio or internet. Technology is not evil, but also it should not be used as an excuse to stay away from public worship, and it should not be used as a means to isolate oneself as a Christian, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. The practice of the early New Testament church in gathering for worship is a pattern and an example for Christians today. Here are a couple of more examples from Scripture in Acts 20, verses 6 and 7. We read this, and Luke is writing, he says, "And we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and came unto them to Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight." Here, the missionary Paul arrived in Troas on Monday or Tuesday, and then on the following Sunday, the first day of the week, all the disciples in that area came together to break bread. This was their regularly scheduled meeting for worship. Already in the early New Testament church, they gathered on Sunday, the Christian Sabbath, and not the Jewish Sabbath, which was Saturday. They came together for what? To break bread, that is, for the administration of the Lord's Supper. And they came together to hear the preaching of the gospel. This day, they had a guest preacher with them, missionary Paul. And this is the kind of meeting that our text has in mind when it's talking about not forsaking the gathering of ourselves together. Public worship on the Lord's Day to hear God's word and to receive the sacraments. Here's another passage, 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2. And this passage highlights another different, important element of worship for the church. We read, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gathering when I come." Here, Paul is talking about collections for the poor. And he says that on the first day of the week, they should set this money aside. Why does he tell them to do this on the first day of the week? Because that's when they gathered for public worship. And these collections were a part of that worship. And this was the way things were set up, not just in Corinth, but in all the churches of Galatia. And so again, you have the church gathering for public worship on a set day. And now in Hebrews 10, verse 25, in the negative, believers are urged not to neglect these public gatherings for worship. The writer is saying there are responsibilities that you have toward the local church. And one of them is that you show up for worship with other believers, that you participate in this aspect of the life of the church. Now, why would Christians stay away? Maybe that's a question for you to answer for yourself if you are not regularly gathering with God's people in worship. We see here in Hebrews that already 40 or so years after the ascension of Christ, some who professed to be Christians had already developed a habit of not attending regular weekly meetings for worship. Why? The text itself does not say. But elsewhere in the New Testament and from some other early church literature, we can glean some reasons. Some feared persecution from the Romans. Others bowed to the pressure from Jewish family and friends, and they put their family and friends above worship. It's very likely that some were embarrassed by the smallness of their Christian congregations in comparison to the large and well-attended Jewish synagogues. Still others had business engagements on the first day of the week, the Lord's Day. And others were simply spiritually lazy. Now, none of those are mentioned in the text here. And that's because none of them are legitimate reasons for the neglect of public worship. But I mention them because in our day of consumerism and individualism, these are the exact reasons that people will give for neglecting to gather with God's people in worship. You see, there's nothing new under the sun. Some today will say, the church is so small, I might just as well stay at home with my family. Others will call Sunday a family day, and they'll put family above worship. Still others will let work and business interests trump the worship of God. And some are simply spiritually lazy. Sunday is my day. I sleep in on Sundays. It's the only day I can do it. Going to church is too demanding. The people there are difficult. If I have nothing else to do, I'll be there. I don't have to be in church to be a Christian. And all of this, which you will hear among Christians today, reveals a dreadful misunderstanding of the Bible's teaching on the church. Instead of seeing the church as the chief instrument through which God administers His grace to His people, and instead of seeing the gathering of believers as the coming together of the body of Christ and the members of that body so that as Christians we can be a strength and encouragement to one another, the attitude is, I don't really need the church. And other Christians will survive. They'll be fine without me. But the Bible teaches very clearly that the church should be considered as a body which is made up of many different members. And each member is essential, and each member has a gift which it must contribute for the sake of the other members. And so we ought not neglect the gathering together of the church for worship on the Lord's Day. Why not? Why is it necessary to gather in worship? This is my second main point in the message. Now, there are many reasons. The most important one is this, that we need to hear the preaching of God's Word. When we talk about worship and the gathering of believers for worship, then we must understand that God's Word and the preaching of God's Word is the main part of worship. The church is not a club of people who share a similar interest. Believers don't gather to be entertained, nor is church simply a time for a motivational speech. But in worship, we draw near to the God who has first come to us. He came in His Son. He's opened the way, and now He comes to us in the gospel. Paul says of this gospel and the preaching of this gospel in Romans 1, verse 16, that it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. In Romans 10, he tells us that unless we hear the preaching of the gospel, we cannot call on God in order to be saved. And with that in mind, it's important that as believers we find a church that proclaims and is faithful to God's Word, that preaches the truth. If we love God's Word and truth, if we love Christ and the gospel, then we cannot be happy just anywhere in any group of people that calls itself a Christian church. But we need to find a church with the gospel of salvation for sinners through the blood and sacrifice of Jesus Christ is proclaimed, and where the sovereignty of God is declared in predestination and in the work of salvation. And let me add this here. That's really the purpose of our radio ministry on the Reformed Witness Hour. We don't do this as a substitute for church, but it's intended to help you, our listeners, grow in your understanding of the gospel and of the truth, so that you will be equipped to seek out and find a church that is faithful to God's word. And so we have here the primary reason that we need to attend church, so that we can receive the word of God, which is spiritual food for our souls, to save us and to keep us in the faith. But now that reason is not actually mentioned here in Hebrews 10 verse 25, but it does stand behind the two reasons that are here. Two other reasons are given. First, so that we can exhort one another, and second, because we are living in the last days. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. We need to exhort one another. This is really a repetition of what was said in the previous verse. Here is one way that we, verse 24 has it, provoke one another to love and good works. We do this by exhorting one another. And you see, unless we come together, unless we get to know one another as fellow believers in a local church, unless we spend time together, unless together we hear the instruction and admonition of God's Word in the preaching of the gospel, it's impossible for us to exhort one another. But when we do come together, when we become familiar with each other as Christians, and when we share one another's struggles and get to know one another's weaknesses and personality, then we can effectively exhort one another. We sit together in worship under the same Word of God. Then we can walk out of church and we can say to one another, did you hear God's word? Did you hear the promises? Did you hear the encouraging truth? Did you hear the gospel that stirs us up to godly living? And you see, in this way, God's word binds us together as we gather together in public worship. I imagine that after Paul preached in Troas all through the night and then left the next morning, that the saints there exhorted one another and encouraged one another from Paul's sermons for a very long time following. And so we come together to exhort each other, to hear and to speak to each other the Word of God. And you see, if you sit at home, or if you neglect worship for some other interest or some other activity, you miss out on this. And then you miss out on the communion of the saints. And that's not good. If I cut off circulation to one of the members of my body, it's not going to last too long. We need each other as believers. And that brings us to the other reason in the text. Why should we not neglect the public gatherings of the church? Why are they necessary? He says, so much the more as ye see the day approaching. The day he speaks of is the day of the return of Jesus Christ, the day when he will come on the clouds of heaven in judgment and salvation. But the text here is not so much interested in that day itself, but rather the approach to that day, what leads up to that day. And so he says that we see that day approaching. What he's saying is this, that as the day of Jesus Christ gets closer, things in the world will get worse and worse for Christians. Jesus tells us in the Gospels that there will be a great falling away, a time of intense persecution such as was never before seen in history. And there's a build-up to this as history progresses. As the day of Jesus Christ approaches, we see these things more and more. There's an increase of wickedness. There's more and more opposition to biblical Christianity. There's an increase in persecution. And seeing these things, the writer says, gives us greater reason to gather with other believers. So much the more, he says, so much the more as you see the day approaching. There's an urgency. in the last days. We need each other more than ever. And aren't we living in these days? Doesn't wickedness abound today? Don't we see more and more in opposition to the Christian faith? Isn't it becoming more and more difficult in some parts of the earth because of persecution for believers to get together for worship? And then all the more we need to gather with the church. And so this is God's word for you today. Don't neglect the church. Don't say, I'll go it alone as a Christian. Don't say, there are other things that are more important to me or more interesting to me than worshiping with God's people. Don't say, it's too difficult, there's too much opposition, or I don't get along well with other Christians. No, stay with Christ. Stay with the gospel. Stay with His people. For there's your strength in the evil days that lie ahead. As He said in verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. And so this is why we need to go to church. It's not just about being there as a warm body to fill a pew, or to increase the volume of the singing, or to put money in the collection plate for some ministry. But this is something that we need. We need each other, so that we may be found faithful in the day of Jesus Christ. Well, let's pray. Lord our God, keep us, we pray, by Thy word. Preserve us in our commitment to the Church of Jesus Christ and to other believers. And Lord, for those listening today who have not a place in the church, who cannot find a faithful church, open the way for them to find true fellowship with other believers around Thy word for the sake of their souls. For those who have forsaken the church, Lord, soften their hearts, bring them back into the fold. And keep Thy church, we pray, in the evil days in which we live, till the day of Jesus Christ. We pray this for Jesus' sake. Amen.